Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Kostowski set to go. 23-17 Steelers. Kostowski tries the onside kick, and it doesn't go the required 10 yards.
You're kidding, right?
That is a huge mistake.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of my show. It's the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com here until 6 o'clock tonight. And, man, we do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. You can also Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Post a message, and I will gladly read it. And also, of course, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour today, Giants.com reporter Michael Eisen will join me, and we'll chat with him about his thoughts and what should be a pretty interesting game this week for the Patriots and obviously for the Giants. And again, looking at the film, the TV stuff from NFL Network yesterday, last night, and this morning about with the Giants and going through most of their games, and some of them are just a little 15 to 18 minute little snippets, but I watched the whole Miami game yesterday, going through most of it. And I can tell you this, and you can talk to me from now until hell freezes over about the Patriots defense. If the Giants play that way against the Patriots as they did against Miami, it's going to be an ugly day for the Giants. I think it's a bad spot for them anyway, coming in here after a Patriots loss, like I said, with the Patriots being 18-1 at home against the NFC, and they just don't lose games in the regular season here at home. I think it's a bad spot. The Giants, and this happens all the time in the NFL, and this is why you can't get too carried away with this stuff, but when they're playing a cruddy opponent in the Miami Dolphins, they trail the entire way of that whole game until the very end. And yes, Eli Manning this year overall has been pretty good in the fourth quarter. I think he's got the best fourth quarter percentage, quarterback rating of anybody, in the NFL this year. But you gotta look at who they played, alright? At Washington, St. Louis, at Philly, at Arizona, Seattle, they lost to, and Buffalo, alright? Which they won 27-24. It's probably the most impressive win. Home against St. Louis is not impressive. That was week two. That team sucked. At Washington, they lose. At Philadelphia, when the Eagles were just like ridiculous and turning the ball over. I give the Giants credit. It's a nice divisional win for them on the road. They win 29-16. They barely win in Arizona, against a pretty, mediocre to bad Arizona team, 31-27. They lose at home to Seattle, which is one of the worst teams in the league. And they beat Buffalo. So far, pretty good team. So far. So that's not exactly a great schedule. So I know the Giants lead the league with 26 sacks, and certainly it's something the Patriots have to be aware of. I am telling you this, that if they play like they did against Miami here on Sunday, they're going to get their asses kicked. Trust me. Because they'll make some plays, and they'll get some points in this game. You know, somewhere between, I think, 20 and 24. Again, I'll give my prediction tomorrow. Because I think Eli has some weapons. There's no question he has some weapons. And what I saw in the Miami game, what he did, did a lot what the Steelers did to the Patriots early on is what Eli did to Miami early on. A lot of short passes and stuff. They just couldn't convert. I mean, he had some nice throws, but the Giants were just, you know, horrible. Couldn't get any points.
G-man!
Couldn't get any points on the board, you know, until the fourth quarter where they outscored him by 10-0. But, they did do a lot of short, dumpy, and the guy who's going to scare me a little bit in this game is Bradshaw, not running the ball. The Giants can't run the ball worth a crap. So I'm sure the Patriots are going to try to make them one-dimensional. Believe it or not, the best way for them to win this game is have Eli throw the ball a lot. I think that's what you want. I mean, it may sound crazy, but I'm telling you, that's what you want. They just have to do a better job of wrapping up and just, you know, a lot of those third and longs that they allowed the Steelers to convert, they have to do a much better job at that. And you know Eli's going to take a lot more shots down the field than Roethlisberger did. But I watched how the Giants played that game, and again, I take a lot into consideration who they played at home against a crappy opponent. So I don't care what anybody says, and every game is not the same. It's just different. And I would have said the same thing, if the Patriots had kind of squeaked out a win, which happens sometimes. I mean, you can't, every win in the NFL, no matter, I mean, a win is a win. The sexiness of it, I don't care. You know, a win is a win. So both teams are 5-2. They are what they are. Certainly the Giants can pose some problems for the Patriots. There's no question about it, if they let them. But I just don't. I don't think the Giants have the. I don't think the Giants have the. And please don't. Nobody compare this team with 2007. It's not. It's just different. There's 14 players left in that Giant team now that were there. I think 7 on the Patriots. But this is just completely different. I don't want to hear about 2007, okay, or technically 2008, the Super Bowl, because it means nothing in this game.
It is what it is.
It is exactly. I think the what's going to be interesting here is, and it's an overused phrase, but I think it's fitting here, is Eli staying quote unquote within himself.
What are you kidding me?
If he tries to do too much, you know what happens, because this guy is the biggest Jekyll and Hyde quarterback out there. There are throws and times he looks like one of the best in the league, and then he just craps out for quarters, sometimes games at a time, and you don't know what the hell he's doing. A lot like Tony Romo. He's a lot like Tony Romo in a lot of ways. Now, he's having a better year than Romo is right now, but I also take the schedule into consideration here. And I just can't get past it. Lost to Seattle at home. I mean, it gave up 36 points to the Seahawks. Come on. But they still have, you know, they still have Justin Tuck and Asa Uwenyora. And Jason Pierre-Paul, 7.5 sacks. Humanura's 5 sacks. I mean, they can get to the, I mean, they've gotten to the quarterback. Now, they didn't do a great job against the Dolphins until the very end. The very end, the last 4 minutes, it looked like Reggie White against Max Lane in the Super Bowl. I mean, they were all over him. But in the beginning, a lot of that game, and I wonder if Tom Brady, because there were a lot of times Moore just took off for the Dolphins, and he had some yards rushing in that game. Some first downs, too, some big-time plays. So I'm wondering, you know, if Tom might see that, if the pocket and take off a little bit. I know he doesn't like to do it, but I saw there were a lot of space for Moore to run up from Miami. Now, what I do think you're going to see a lot in this game, I think the Patriots come out throwing the ball again, but they will run the ball effectively against this team. There is no question about it. And I will be shocked if Ben Jarvis Green Ellis doesn't get a significant amount of carries in this game, along with a lot. I think it's going to be a pretty good balanced attack. I think Woodhead, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and Falk, and maybe even Ridley, are going to get some plays in this game. They're going to get some yards in this game.
I was going somewhere. I was running.
Yes, I was running. Thank you, Forrest. And I just, you know, this Giants pass defense, and my offensive star of the game that's going to be right now, one of them, is going to be Aaron Hernandez in this game. You watch. Watch the kind of game he has. And Gronkowski have a good game too. I think this is going to be Aaron Hernandez's game. Well, a pretty big game for him. Now, Taylor Price, we don't know. I don't know what he's going to bring. Now, they keep saying Billy O'Brien says he wants to see more of him. I don't know. Chad Ochocinco, who the hell knows? So far, I don't expect anything out of him because he hasn't done anything for the most part. So I don't have any expectations. What I do know is the Patriots are pissed off right now. They're playing at home against an NFC team in a place where they dominate NFC teams since 2002 at 18-1. I don't give a damn what their defense, I mean, I know people say, yeah, well, they've given up 400 yards again, all these teams. But there was some games this year. San Diego, the Jets, Dallas, and you can't do the Borges thing where you just crap all over the other team and you don't give the Patriots credit for how they play defense. And then you wait for a game like the Steelers, and it's like for Borges, it's like, you know, Christmas morning opening up. He can just crap all over the Patriots because they lost, even though in the second half of that game they only gave up six points, really, take away the illegal safety. Okay? So the red zone defense was much better. I mean, it was, you know, 2 of 5. They were allowing field goals as far as the red zone defense. Now, there is a lot they need to improve, trust me. They can't. If they play defense like that on Sunday against Eli, then, you know, the Patriots may win. It's going to be 44-40. But I think the Patriots are going to put up some points here. So they've got to do it better. And I think, I mean, to me, the three biggest I'm going to be watching, the three guys I'm going to be watching more so than the second, believe it or not, is Mayo, Spikes, and Ninkovich. Those guys, it's those little flat passes over the middle that I guarantee you, because the Giants will probably cough and will try to copy a little bit of what the Steelers did. And, now, and to be honest with you, the Giants were thrown that way last week early on against Miami. A lot of short dink and dunk stuff. Bradshaw over the middle. They like to use Bradshaw a lot because they can't run the ball. And you got to understand, the Giants' philosophy has completely changed from the beginning of the season. They were like supposed to be this run first, pass second. But as you know, the league is not that way anymore. If you can't throw the ball consistently, you cannot win in this league for the most part. And the Giants certainly have some weapons. They got Hakeem Nicks, you know, they got Manningham. Eli made a beautiful throw to Manning. One of the touchdowns Eli was a beautiful throw. I got to give him credit for that. You know, Jake Ballard is a tight end that they're going to have to deal with. I think Bradshaw out of the backfield would scare me a little bit. Not so much running the ball, but just catching the ball. Safety valve guy that Eli checks down to a lot. And Victor Cruz, kid out of UMass, having a pretty good year. Pretty good year. But again, I take into consideration the schedule, who they played, situation stuff. I think it's a bad spot for the Giants coming in here. And this New England team, if you heard the press conferences, maybe we'll play snippets of them later on today. This is an angry Patriots team. You don't want to play the Patriots when they're angry. They don't lose two in a row. Doesn't happen. It happens. Hardly ever happens. I told you last year.
Earlier, in the locker room, I heard someone ask a question. They said, past 8 years, it's happened twice.
Mm. It happened in 2009 and happened in 2002. And I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. And I said after the Buffalo game, and I kept, and now everybody, a lot of people was had the same kind of overreaction. And I said, relax, they're going to go to Oakland, and they're going to beat them, and they're going to hold McFadden down, and they did.
After Buffalo, you would have thought that, like, half the team had gone on IR, and Bill Belichick left the team.
Well, that's how I mean, and that's the overreaction, Matt, that's going on now. I mean, I just think, I mean, my God, okay, they basically lost by 6 points to a pretty good Pittsburgh team on the road. Relax. Look at the other teams around the NFL. I mean, Green Bay is the only one that's been fairly consistent all year. And they're still 29th against the pass, by the way. Okay, the Patriots are last, but Green Bay's 29th. So, I'm telling you, every team has some flaws here. Every one of them. But and people at in the media, everybody has such a bad habit, fans and media alike, of thinking that what happened last Sunday is going to keep happening again. Now, you may think, I mean, you may say, okay, well, overall, the Patriots have given up all these yards, and they've given up over 400 yards and this, that, and many games. Okay, you can't tell me that games against San Diego, Dallas, and the Jets were much, and you know, even Miami to an extent, were much different, because Miami got some yards at the end in garbage time, were a little different than the Pittsburgh. And the Buffalo game was strictly, that was turnovers. That was 24 points off four Tom Brady interceptions. Two of them which were deflected. Okay? And last week, despite how poorly they played on defense, overall, I mean, they played better in the second half, and they gave up, you know, again, we're giving up field goals more than touchdowns, which is a good thing. They still had a chance to win that game twice with 3.5 minutes to go. They had two possessions. And I still go back to last year's law. When they lost to Cleveland last year, I wish we could replay. I wish we could find that show and replay all the emails and all the calls that when they lost to the Cleveland Browns last year, when everybody thought it was all doom and gloom, and then they never lose another game the rest of the regular season. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be the case this year. Okay, because I picked them 13-3, being in the season. But my God, I mean, you know, Baltimore had a hard time this week with Arizona. They barely squeaked that one out, and
they lost to Jacksonville.
And that was when I was in Jamaica. I didn't get to see any of that game. I just saw the highlights. Ugliest game ever, huh?
You should be happy you were away.
Yeah,
one of the worst games I've ever watched in my entire life.
I read about it the next day. The only time I went on the internet was Tuesday morning. It was actually up around 5 o'clock on Tuesday morning in Jamaica, because I had to get some emails out to some people about where to meet us, and this is a huge resort. I didn't want anybody to get lost. So I was up early, and I went through everything, and I said, oh, my God. I went through all the games and looked at all the recaps. I said, Jesus, this is unbelievable. So, please, every team has some issues. I don't understand why we have such an overreaction after this team loses. You know why? I know why we do, because they don't lose very often. So it's an overreaction, but there's too much lumping in that every game is going to be this way. And if they keep doing this, they're never going to make. Yeah, of course, if they play defense like they did out last Sunday, of course they're going to be in serious trouble. But do you really think that's going to be the case in a week in week out basis? You know, the Steelers the first 2 weeks of the season looked like one of the worst teams in football. And you know what? They may very well lose to Baltimore. I'll probably pick Baltimore tomorrow when they play them. They play Baltimore on Sunday in Pittsburgh. I know they got humiliated by them in Baltimore and all that stuff. I'm still picking Baltimore. Road teams won that series a lot. And I still think Baltimore's a better team. But nobody is so far ahead of anybody in the AFC right now, is what I'm trying to say. And I just think that, this lumping in of... And I know, again, it's that strictly pass or fail. I can't stand it. Strictly pass or fail every week. It doesn't work that way in the league. I don't know how many times I'm going to say, drill it into you guys' heads. Media too. A lot of media do it. You know, today, let me tell you something. Julian Edelman, until I see, whatever. I don't care. We don't know all the facts. He was at practice today, by the way. And, you know, Jonathan Hall, who I've known Jonathan a long time, he's a great reporter for Channel 7. I understand that. And questions that, you know, had to be asked. The stuff about the Rob Gronkowski question about taking a picture with a porn star. Who cares, Jonathan? Nobody. Maybe on 7 News, the way they do news over there and everything, because it's kind of like TMZ style a little bit. That's fine. But most football fans don't give a crap about Rob Gronkowski taking a picture with some chick. I don't care what she does for a living.
That could have been any girl.
Who cares?
State and wouldn't have made a difference.
Who cares? Who cares who is taking what picture with whom? Or who's dating whom? I don't care. Most people don't care. I thought that was a little, when he asked that part of the question. The part about Edelman, that's fine. I understand that. That's a story. You know, you weren't going to get anything out of him. We all know that. You're not going to get anything out of this franchise. You still have to ask the question. I understand that. But the Gronkowski stuff about taking a picture, I mean, come on. We got better things to talk about than that crap. And that's just that kind of stuff is crap. That's TMZ stuff that, does anybody care what picture Rob Gronkowski did? No, they care about him on the field. As long as he's not on a police blotter, which Edelman was, but we still know all the facts and it's still whatever. You're hearing all kinds of rumors about what way it'll go. It doesn't matter.
It's a joke.
He was out.
It's a joke.
It was. He was back out practicing today. Now, I don't know if he'll play on Sunday. That remains to be seen. But I could give a crap about who Rob Gronkowski takes a picture with. Wasted time. Talk about the Giants. They wasted 10 minutes about Edelman and Gronkowski during this press conference today. Waste of time. Now, I understand the questions had to be asked a couple times about Edelman. But you're not going to, and then they're asking Brady about leadership and come on. What do you think? He's going to tell you, do some of these people think that Brady and the other captains are going to sit there and tell you locker information that's privy to the locker room, word for word stuff? You know, and because they don't say it, do you really think they're not leaders in that locker room?
Hell no.
This is why you don't send news reporters into sports locker rooms a lot of the times, because it just ends up being ridiculous. And the Super Bowl is the worst. The Super Bowl is the worst. Because you get every Tom, Dick, and Harry there, and Mary Jane, and you know, they wouldn't know a football from a bowl of oatmeal. And they sit there and try to come up with some kind of stupid question. And by the way, there are a lot of stupid questions that that are asked by the mainstream media, too. I'm not letting us all off the hook. You know, I've asked plenty of them, trust me. But the stuff about, I really get agitated about stuff about taking pictures with girlfriends. I mean, nobody cares. Nobody. Maybe some pink hat, 18, 19-year-old or something cares about that stuff. The majority of Patriot fans could care. They don't care. It's not a story who Rob Gronkowski takes a picture with. The Edelman story is a story, okay? He got arrested. We don't know yet if the charges are going to be dismissed. We don't know what's going to happen. There's all sorts of stories floating around about what really happened. We don't know. So I'm not even going to come close to commenting on it. I just know he's back at practice today. and that's fine. And we'll see or not, whether or not he plays on Sunday. But let's get, I mean, let's just, you know, and if you notice today, and we'll play some of it later on, when Bill started talking about football, it was good stuff. It was good stuff. He was very good today. Brady was great. Brady's angry. I mean, this team is angry. They're angry. It's a bad spot for the Giants, I'm telling you. Most of you should know not to question me on this stuff. When I tell you, I know the personality of this team and what they do after losses and games like this and the opponent that they're playing. And this is another one of those that they felt the same way after the Bills game when they were going to Oakland. Bad spot for the Raiders. Bad spot for the New York Giants here. Despite some of the defensive numbers that may look impressive on paper, like the 26 sacks, again, consider who they're playing, the types of quarterback they're going up against, all that stuff take into consideration. Okay? Because I don't see it happening here. I mean, the Patriots, I'm not saying the Patriots are going to win by 30 or anything like that, but I think it'll be a comfortable win for the Patriots this week. Comfortable win. I know they're favored by 8.5. That seems about right. I'll probably pick them by 10 to 14 points. I haven't made up my mind yet. But I think that line is right where it should be. I think Vegas got it right again, as they usually do in a lot of these cases. So anyway, it's the Pete Shepherd Show. We're live at our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriot.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's only Wednesday, and I'm already agitated with the entire planet just absolutely crapping all over this team. And to come up with this, we're going to have to reset the webmail again. But, you know, it's just everybody over. It's one game that they lost to a pretty good team on the road. And yes, I know overall, I know the net numbers on the pass defense. Yes, okay. Go look at the, and, as I said, the Packers are 29th. Other pretty good teams. New Orleans is letting up a lot. There's a lot of teams letting up a lot of yards. The freaking Baltimore Ravens lost to Jacksonville, for God's sakes. Just, you know, perform that hard-hitting analysis at all the other teams in the league, too. Because the Patriots are not alone with their issues. They really are not. All right, let me get to some of these emails before we take a quick break and then come back. Manny says, good afternoon, Pete. Congrats again on your marriage. Hopefully I have calmed you down. Well, I got a good thing and I got a bad thing that happened this weekend. The good is my Eagles showed up and played 60 minutes of football. The bad is my girlfriend was pissed for 3.5 hours on the Patriots. I told her to calm down. It's one game. I bet the Steelers play the Pats up there in New England in the AFC Championship game, but still I could not believe when the Pats gave up on the run so early. I know they were down by 2 possessions, but still you have to run to have balance. No worries on the patch, though. The Giants are going to become the little Giants this weekend. Thanks, Pete. Great show, as always. Well, I always said that yesterday. I talked about them abandoning the run early, too. And I'm not so interested about you have to have balance to win, okay? Because I think every game, I mean, they were down. It's tough to have balance when you're trailing in a game by 10-0 early. But I did think they had a chance to run the ball in that game and didn't do it and abandoned it maybe a little bit too early. But that aside, I think they'll be able to run the ball very effectively. I think you will see that balanced attack this week again, against this particular team, because the Giants don't stop the run well. They don't run the ball well, and they don't, you know, they don't, they pass the ball. They're like sixth in the league on their offense passing the ball. They're not the 2007 Giants in the Super Bowl. Okay. The pass defense is ranked 13th. And look who they played against. Not a lot of great quarterbacks. And Fitzpatrick is pretty good this year. The rest of them, I mean, Michael Vick had a lousy game in that game. The rest of them, those quarterbacks, nothing great, and they're still 13. That's nothing spectacular.
I think that's the weakest part of their team. Defense, yeah. Backfield.
Oh, absolutely. No question. And I think that's why the Patriots are going to be able to, I think offensively, Patriots are going to pretty much have their way. Patriots are going to be scoring a lot in this game.
I think this is going to be a high-scoring one. I do.
Well, I do too. I think it'll be close for a while, and the Patriots are going to pull away. I mean, I think certainly Eli and the Giants are capable of putting up 24 points or less than between 20 and 24. That's what I'm thinking. But the Patriots could score 40 in this one. Now, also depends, though. I mean, that also can depend. I mean, if they jump out to an early lead, Patriots get the ball back, you're going to see them run the ball a lot more. So you never know in the fourth quarter. They have a comfortable 10-point lead. I'm sure if they're running the ball effectively well, and I think they will be able to, then, you know, that can change the score a little bit. But I expect a pretty high-scoring game early on in this one, and then the Patriots pull away. Let me take a quick break. Again, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Join me, webradio at patriots.com. Lots of emails to get to on Facebook. Also, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. We do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, and the field is right over there behind Matt, right over there, right over his shoulder.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at jetblue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at jetblue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepard.
And back here on the Pete Shepard Show, Patriots.com, here until 6 tonight. Doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Web radio at Patriots.com is how you get a hold of me, or you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Michael Eisen from Giants.com will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. And we'll get some thoughts from him. Injury report today, in case you missed it. Dane Fletcher, Wes Welker did not participate. Limited for the Pats, Josh Barrett, Sean Ellis, Kevin Flock, the law firm, Aaron Hernandez, Gerard Mayo, Sebastian Vollmer. They were limited. Giants had a pretty significant injury report today, too. Pretty sizable, anyway. I don't know how significant it is. But Stacey Andrews, David Boss, Ahmad Bradshaw, Mario Manningham, Hakeem Nicks, and also Umanyora all did not participate today. Did not participate today. Justin Tuck also was limited. So they got some issues too, possibly. Possibly. With that. And again, Matt, you're gonna have to come in here and reset this thing again. I don't know what the deal is, but it just went blank. Anyway, let me read this one from Dave on Facebook. It's a long one, but very passionate. I don't agree with some of it, but I do agree with some of it. I don't agree with all of it. Hey, Pete, he says, I think we can agree on one thing, that the offense will never, for as long as Tom Brady is quarterbacking, hold this team back. I am absolutely fed up, even with a few people blaming the Pittsburgh or even the Buffalo loss, even the slightest bit on the offense. Well, see, right there, I kind of disagree with that a little bit. However, he goes on to say, I don't care that Ocho Cinco has been a bust. I don't care that we don't have speed at all the skill positions. I don't care that we don't have a deep threat. The bottom line is that our defense is capable of stopping no one. No one. Bill Belichick no longer deserves a free pass, but he certainly can field a team that knows how to give them up. I have yet to see Mayo change a game. All he does is rack up tackles by playing a position.
Everyone sucks but me.
In which that is a standard. That is the equivalent of backing Mark Bellhorn by saving he doesn't make mistakes in the field and doesn't hit it to double play. Now, see, I disagree about Mayo. If you go back and look at, so he has made some pretty good plays this year, and Spikes has as well. Spikes has really come along. Let me go on here. All he does is rack up tackle. He goes with the Bellhorn analogy and a lot. Let's see what else he has. Do I even need to go through the carousel of cornerback and secondary failures in the draft? Wilfork simply takes up space, and the rest of the defensive line is even more useless, despite them supposedly needing to play a much more prominent role in the 4-3. Now, that's an absolutely ridiculous statement, David. It's ridiculous. This is where you guys lose. This is where I really have to question guys' statements like that about football knowledge and how much you really pay attention to the game. Okay? You go look at Dallas, you go look at Oakland, you go look at the Jets. And you ask those offensive linemen about getting dominated for the most part by the Patriots defensive line. Go ask McFadden how it felt. He was held to 2.6 yards a carry, and one carry for 41 yards.
What, are you kidding me?
The rest of it was garbage. The Jets didn't do crap running the ball, and Dallas didn't either. And then the defensive line played pretty well in those games in the San Diego game. You can't make blanket statements like that, Dave. I'm going to call you on it. You know, you can be frustrated with the defense in the secondary. I'm with you. We all are. But when you say a statement like that, you're 100% wrong.
Around the league, offensive linemen always talk about how Vince Wilfork is one of the best.
No question. He's absolutely one of the best. He's a beast.
He says all he does is take up space.
No, he does a lot more than you're not watching. You're not paying attention. Let's see. What else does he have? Well, you and I disagree is with the yards allowed per game. With a quarterback like Brady, we should be getting the ball in his hands as much as possible.
Tom Brady, Michigan.
Yes, and when you have a defense that bends but doesn't break, all you're doing is allowing the team to rack up yards and waste time off the clock, in which should be utilized by having the ball in Brady's hands. Okay, but not when you're up by like 3 touchdowns, as they have been in the past. That's not what you want to do. You let teams kind of eke some time off the clock. Again, we disagree there. Let's see. What else does he say? As I said, I live in Wisconsin, and it's all more frustrating watching Clay Matthews, knowing we essentially gave him up. as I watch Packer games with my friends and listen to them complain about the athletic shortcomings and lack of football IQ from A.J. Hawk, I think to myself quietly, I would take him over any of the Patriots linebackers in an instant. Well, again, you're wrong. Absolutely wrong. I trust Bill, the coach. Bill, GM, is treading on thin ice, in my opinion. The idea of value in the draft's going nowhere. For once, put your ego aside and draft a player based on need, not what you think is the best player out there.
It's so ridiculous.
Because here's some news for you, Bill. If you like a player and think you can get him still by trading down, absolutely no other team values him as much as you do, or else they'd be trading up. Now, that's not true. That's
so
not
ridiculous.
True. Again. This is honestly the worst defense I've ever seen, and I don't see it improving any time in the near future as long as Belichick is in charge of changing it at the draft. Now, where was this email the last 3 weeks? Again, you wait till they lose a game by 6 points, essentially, in Pittsburgh. I mean, some of these people, it's like they lost 65 to nothing. William on Facebook says, Pete, here is my... But see, half the points you tried to make, Dave... Unfortunately, we're way off. Way off. You got to pay attention to everything. I mean, you know, you can't just make blankets. Wilfork taking up space. That's, like, ridiculous. William says, Pete, here's my rant about some fans. The secondary had issues. I agree. It has had issues for a long time. Okay, then they add the problem is Belichick and go from reasonable to blatant idiots that can and should be ignored. Ask them who they'd rather get. By the way, I hear Sperano might be free soon. Well, yeah, I mean, there's some truth to that. And I'm not sitting here saying that you shouldn't be concerned about some of the issues on this team. I understand that. I'm concerned by some of the issues I see in the secondary. I'm actually more concerned about the Boer tackling wrapping up. That, to me, has been the most inconsistent thing. Some of these third downs that could be stopped and end up going for, instead of 4 yards, go for 12. That's what bothered me more than anything about this defense. And not every game, but there's been I shouldn't say that. I take that back. That's probably one thing that's been consistent in every game. There's been at least two or three times in every game where they have failed to wrap up.
Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, exactly. But so have a lot of other teams. You know, I'm telling you, this is not indicative to the Patriots. My God. If they win 34-20, say on Sunday, there'll still be people bitching about something. If they give up 400 yards to the Giants and win 34-20, is that a bad thing? So say they're up like 27-7, and a lot of that yardage comes to guard. Is that a bad thing? I mean, there used to be a time around here where a one win was great. Two, getting to 500 was great.
I'm sorry. Winning. Starting to get the concept now?
Now everybody's into the sexiness of the wins. They've lost it. A lot of people have. It's about the sexiness of the wins now. And you keep hearing, they didn't win the right way. They played defense the wrong way. Belichick sucks as a coach and a GM. Maybe not so much the coach. He's a bad player personnel guy.
Oops. Winning.
All this stuff. One loss to a pretty good team on the road. Yeah, I know. They're giving up 400 yards to all these teams. Yeah, okay. So have a lot of other teams. I'm telling you right now. You want to defy me? I'm telling you. This is one of those. This is a bad spot for the Giants. Patriots are going to have a comfortable win on Sunday. In the end, when it's all said and done, it's going to be double digits. I didn't say win by 30. I said double digits, which means 10 or more. And I'll give you my score on Thursday. Let's see. Who's this from? Mika. Pete, I'm getting so sick and tired of fans being so freaking fickle. 1 week, we're talking about who we're going to play in the Super Bowl. The next, we're going to miss the playoffs. Well, that's fans for you. Give me a break. We're known, and we've known the defense is suspect. It's going to give up some points. The loss to the Steelers was not the fault of the defense. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. We know that the most important stat is points allowed, and 24 points should get us a win if our offense was actually clicking. How many games in a row did we score 30 points? Most of the sports analysts were telling us that Pittsburgh was going to score at least 24 points. So why are we so shocked? The Patriots plenty got outplayed, period. Move on, quit panicking. Thanks for being the voice of reason. Go Pats. Yeah, I mean, I agree, but it was tough for the offense to get clicking when they were only on the field for 20 minutes. That's the problem. Time of possession, for once, really mattered in this game. Chad says, hello, Pete. Enough. I can't stand those alienated TV punks. Okay. Isn't it funny on my show how the language and the John seems to have, like, the pulse of his writer, the pulse of the writers on his show seem calm, cool, collected. Mine are like passion. I love it. Mine are just like, throw it all out there. And very logical. Yeah. And I can't stand, Chad says, I can't stand those alienated TV punks who keep complaining. Man, I hear about passion. That's not passion. That's frenzy harassment. Passion is about guys like me who stay up at 2 in the morning to watch the Patriots, not a lot of goobers who, because they watch TV all day, are convinced they are super high-class analysts. That includes the PFW punks who are negative and party poopers. I hear Andy Hart saying, oh, and the 2000 Patriots had a way better defense. We were 4-12 in 2000. Bill said it himself. He's rebuilding. So big deal. He's rebuilding. It's not like Rob Ryan and Rex Ryan who guaranteed they'd have the best defensive ever at a Super Bowl. Okay, the defense is not a stud group, but it's only the secondary. Up front, we got all pro caliber players and a talented linebacker core, but of course, teams won't ground and pound against us. They only play with one back in the backfield and four wideouts. So yeah, there's a lot of passing. Then we can't tackle. It's awful, but if we do, then I promise you we can get the offense off the field. That's what I've been saying. You know they're going to throw the ball a lot, and they're going to throw the ball a lot tomorrow on Sunday. That's why, to me, the linebackers are going to be real key in this game. Spikes, Ninkovich, and Mayo. To me, three biggest guys, playmakers on defense. Because they're going to try those dink and dunk passes right off the bat, I promise you. And they got to be ready. All right, more from Chad. But how come our wonderful defense in 2008 couldn't get the job done? Why did Samuel drop the interception? How did our other guys give up nearly 30 points to the Panthers in 2004? You think the Jets D is better? Really? Matt Chiriso, Silpuha, or probably whatever his name is, he called that a defense. And to quote Brett Favre, man, that's some tight pants you got on, Bubba. Oh, my God. Too funny. Well, I agree with some of what you're saying there. You know, some of what you're saying. I think the big part of it is, you know, they can just tackle again. Football comes down to usually three or four plays in a game. And if they had a chance to turn that game around against the Steelers pretty early, and just a couple of stops on third down changes everything, but didn't happen. And yeah, and he brings up, the point he brings up, which I like, he brings up the fact about, you know, defenses in the Super Bowl, and it's a totally different. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh and Green Bay last year, a lot of points in that game. There's been a lot of points in a lot of Super Bowls. And I don't care what the defenses are rank going in. You know, it's just, Super Bowl is a different breed of game. JC says, so we lost the defending AFC champs on the road, and people think we are friggin' 2-5. Wow, this pisses me off to an extreme. Anyways, I like this week's matchup. Pete never lose two in a row. Hail Price this week. And also, I have written off Cunningham and Ellis off as useless roster spots. What about you? No. I think Cunningham's having a pretty bad slump. Sean Ellis, no. I have not even come close to writing him off yet. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What else we got here on web radio? That's for Matt. Don't want that one. Let's see. Yep, don't want that one. A lot of interesting emails here. That was already read. But anyway, email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Again, I am not saying that you guys and girls should not have some concerns. Because if things don't change, and I think they will a lot on Sunday, I just don't think you can group it. You just can't group week to week what's going to happen. You can't say because it happened in the Pittsburgh game, it's going to happen here. That goes for any team. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's head to Philadelphia. Here's Rashad in Philly. Hey, Rashad.
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's up, man? How you doing?
My question is, they brought Ocho back in the offseason. Why is he not in the game? You got to think by now. He know the plays and everything. What? He's not in the game for about two weeks now. I don't know what's going on.
I wish I had an answer for you. I just don't. I mean, you talk to all the players, and you talk to the coaches, and you talk to Chad. The little that he said, he's speaking a little bit more lately. They all say the right things. He's doing the right things in practice. Apparently, he's a great practice player. But when it comes to game, when it comes to game time, for some reason, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it. Now we've seen him. We've seen a couple of flashes. He's had two and three catches in a game for 15 yards. But then we've seen him run the wrong routes several times, and he's just not being thrown to.
At all.
Which either, you know, he's not open or he's running the wrong route. But there's gotta be a reason. And I think this week he's in danger of not getting out there much at all. If Price plays a lot, it sounds like Billy O'Brien and wants Price out there a lot. And that's gonna cut down some time probably on Chad. Now I wish I had definitive answers. I don't know. All I can tell you is you read all the quotes from around here. Everybody has glowing things to say about the guy. During the week in practice, and then when it comes to the game, he disappears.
And the thing is I've seen on the net, I don't know if it's true or not, but he's getting $5 million just to stay on the sideline for this year.
$6 million.
He brought them in for
$6 million.
$6 million.
Yeah,
to stay on the sideline and hold his jersey.
Yeah,
that's all I'm seeing.
No, I know. It just it's frustrating. Believe me, it's frustrating for everybody to sit there and watch because you've seen what he can do in the past. I, for one, thought for sure against the Steelers that he would be out there. But knowing how he knows them and how they, you know, and played them several times a year for many years with Cincinnati, but not to be. I wish I could get inside Bill, do a Vulcan mind meld and get inside of Bill Belichick's head and tell you why he's not playing or why he's not. It's gotta be. I wish there was an Ocho cam. We could just watch him for the plays that he is on the field.
Yeah.
And see what's going on. I mean, I can only go by so much what I see on TV. I don't have coaches film. But he's just not out there a lot. And there's got to be a reason for it.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. That's the question I get from most of my friends about what's – I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. This is from – who's this from? Cedric in Chicago. Hey, Pete, how you doing? I have so many criticisms, but some constructive ideas. One, blame part of the loss onto the offense because we all know what to expect from the defense. Therefore, the offense should have been clicking in on all cylinders. I don't know if it is just me, but I feel that defenses now know how to stop Tom, and Tom is having a hard time adjusting. What do you think? He had okay numbers on Sunday. Well, horrible. They were okay. For a lot of quarterbacks, it'd be damn good. You know, 198 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. But we expect more from Tom Brady because we're spoiled. It's one game. You know? Sometimes you have to factor in penalties and some other things. I mean, they can't put – I mean, it amazes me. I mean, against Dallas and the Jets, they had a pretty balanced attack. You know, he was player of the week, what, three straight weeks in a row? You know, on offense. So I think, trust me, I don't think you're going to have the same opinion come Monday morning about defenses being able to stop Brady against the Giants, because I don't think they're going to be able to. I think the Steelers are a pretty good defense. The Jets are pretty good defense, and Dallas, pretty good defense. He had pretty good games against all those teams except for Pittsburgh, and even Pittsburgh wasn't disastrous. Two, I'm tired of seeing Tom starting playing with urgency towards the end of the game rather than from the first snap. What do you think? Well, I think until last game, I think they had scored on the first possession, what, six out of seven games? They scored a touchdown on their first possession. So scratch that comment. That doesn't work. I blame the loss. Three, I blame part of the loss to the defense. Okay, we agree. The defense sucks. Because we do not have talents at all in the secondary. No, I disagree. I think Arrington, and I think McCourty's definitely a talent, and Arrington has come on. Now, they've just been not consistent. That's been the problem. You know, and Biden leaving is, it is what it is. They got banged up. Rozai Dowling is on IR. I think Chung is a good safety. You know, I mean, they have some issues in the secondary. I'm not denying that, but don't say that they're talentless. Four, blame part of the loss on Bill because of his past drafts. Why did he draft an injury-prone player in Dowling? Why does he draft a pass? Why does he not draft a pass rusher and develop him? Why does he insist on value over talent? I'm wondering if Bill lost his touch with the defense. Another thing too is that I'm tired to hear Bill say that he is doing all that he is doing for the good of the football team and thinking about the future. Here's a fact, Bill: Tom Brady just has 2 or 3 years left in the tank. I disagree with that, by the way. So let's think about the present and win Super Bowls now, for God's sakes. The future is not guaranteed, especially when Tom retires or leaves. Sorry for the long email. I had a lot of things to get off my chest. I appreciate it. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And then Michael Eisen from Giants.com is going to join us. Again, webradio at Patriots.com. Lots more emails to read. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We're back on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Braves!
Indeed, go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery-fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Right? Yeah. No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Everybody!
Yeah, back here, second hour of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. Michael Eisen finishing up some work for Giants.com, and he will join us at the bottom of the hour, Until then, lots more emails to get through with you here as we talk about the Patriots and the Gents. The New York Football Giants coming your way this Sunday, 4:15.
G-Man!
Exactly. And until I brought this stat up, Michael Eisen's the one, I saw this on his story yesterday, and I bring it up. It's an amazing stat. It really is. Giants 4-0 in games where opposing running back rushes for 100-plus yards. Now, those of you who saw some of the game or may not, but Reggie Bush looked like he was going to rush for 1,000 yards in that game. I narrowed it down from 8,000 on John Show to 1,000. But he ended up with 103. I mean, he was running right through them. But Giants 4-0.
It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
In games where opposing running back rushes for 100 yards, the rest of the NFL, that's the National Football League, is 9-45.
That's Bush. Bush League.
Exactly. In those exact same situations. That's contagious, salacious, outrageous. By Jackie Childs from Seinfeld. Anyway, that is an unbelievable number. We'll talk to him about that. That's very, very interesting. And I can tell you this. If the Giants, and I think they will, I think the Patriots will rush for over 100 yards in this game. I don't know if it'll be any one individual, but I absolutely believe they will have over 100 yards rushing in this game. And that's why I just think it's a bad matchup this week for the Giants against this team. Bad, bad matchup. And I know it looks really easy to go say Eli Manning's going to put up a bunch of points on the Patriots. He'll put up some. They'll move the ball. I have no doubt about that. You know, Eli is playing pretty well this year, having one of his best years, if not the best year. But you look into consideration, again, who they played. And one thing about Eli this year, though, I will say, in the fourth quarter, he has had the best quarterback rating in the NFL, which is hard to believe, but he has. Again, who they played, what the situation is, whatever. He was very good against Miami. Miami's dominant, not dominant, but they had the whole game. Miami had the whole game. And the Giants seemed to be moving the ball, but then when it came down to, you know, getting into even field goal range, it just sort of sucked until the fourth quarter, for the most part. My pal Tiff in Wisconsin says, "Hi, Pete, I have to go after that Facebook guy from Wisconsin. I can't believe someone would have the audacity to bring up Clay Matthews in a positive light. Really? Look at the difference between Clay Matthews in 2010 season and what he has done in 2011. Talk about a drop-off. Talk about one-year wonder. Talk about suspect performances in 2010. That's probably the best decision Bill made. That guy sounds like a Packer fan." Regards, Tiff. I'd have to look up his numbers, but I'd take Clay Matthews.
I'll take him any day of the week.
I'll take Clay Matthews.
I'll take him in a 3-4 or 4-3. It doesn't matter to me. He's a beast.
Tiff says, "Hi, Pete. Thank God you are here today." Always liked it when female callers or listeners use my name and God in the same sentence.
They love you, Pete.
Yeah. No, how could they not? I'm soft, fluffy, and adorable, as my wife says. I feel better just listening to 20 minutes of your monologue. I still have a criticism. That's fine. The Ravens are running a 4-3 like we are this year. I just look at Nana and T-Sizzle, and they are head and shoulders better than our guys in those same positions. Shouldn't Wilfork and Mayo be doing what Nana and T-Sizzle are able to do? Shouldn't Wilfork be more dominant at nose with 4-3? I think... Do you realize the people that pick up? I say this to people all the time. If you have a DVR and you go back and watch a game, sometimes really focus on the defensive line. Fast forward through the offenses because you know what that can do. Go back and watch the game and focus on the defensive line and see what Big Vince has to deal with every game. He is almost always double teamed, and that frees up other people. I think he's done a pretty good job, and you look at what he's done in some of these situations. They've done a great job of stopping the run.
Different players, too.
Yeah.
Nada is more, I mean, don't get me wrong. The guy, I'd say he's the best in the business at his position.
Right. Yep. Now.
But he's more of a straight ahead, come after you, just bowl people over. Vince is more of a eat up the blocks and let somebody else make the tackle.
That's right. And a lot of times Vince does make tackles. I'm telling you, Vince is quick for as big as he is. The man can move a little bit. He's a little nimble. We all know he's a great cornerback. I mean, a great defensive back with his hands. Got two interceptions this year. Pacific goes on to say, "This has been my criticism for a while, but it wasn't until the Steelers game that really bothered me. If that front was more aggressive, our secondary wouldn't look so bad. Can you please speak to that? I don't want to point that hard-hitting analysis at any other team because I hate all the other teams, especially the Jets and the Packers." Tiff, you are the best. You are the best. Well, you know, I think you're focusing too much on one game. As I said, there have been other games. They've had, you know, decent pass rushes. Decent. They've done a good job at shutting down other teams' best assets in the running game for the most part. I mean, Oakland, San Diego, you know, they did a good job there for the most part. I mean, Jackson had a big game, but nobody else did. You know, the Jets and Dallas, I think they did a pretty good job on defense. The front four guys that you're talking about.
My question is, where did the comparison of Mayo and Suggs being the same player come from?
I don't know.
Suggs has always been a pass rusher from the time he was in college.
Yep. I don't know. I just think people get caught up sometimes in numbers and some other things, and we lose. I just don't think people watch enough of the other teams. Not everybody. And it's just this big Patriot defensive microscope. So with that great defense that, you know, you can talk, they still lost to Jacksonville in one of the ugliest games ever, you know, you'd ever see. And I didn't get to see it. I just read about it and it was ugly.
100% on their
own. You know, they have their own issues. So there you go. There's Baltimore with a so-called great defense and couldn't score against Jacksonville. Okay? So where is it? Where do you draw that? What do you say about that? I mean, and they got some good offensive talent on Baltimore. So what do you think they're saying this week in Baltimore? Our offense sucks! You got to have a balance. It doesn't mean you have to be great on both sides of the ball, because no team in the NFL is going to be great on both sides of the ball. Those days are done. So there's still a lot of football left to be played. I say it all the time. I'll just say it every time I do the show. I don't start going crazy till around Thanksgiving. That's when I'll know where this team is really health-wise. I know they're going to be in the playoffs, but we'll have a much better sense of what this defense will be all about in about 3 weeks. I don't think it has been this god-awful, worst defense ever that many of you are talking about. Because in points allowed, I think they're 16th or 17th in the league. And by a point, like a half a point here or there, they'd be like 13th or 14th, right in the middle of the pack. All right? And that's really, I told you from day one, that's all I care about is points allowed. I'm not caught up in all this net yardage stuff. Bad tackling, that's a different story. Bad tackling that leads to more net yardage, that is aggravating as hell. That is what bothers me. And that's why I think this week the Ninkovich, Spikes, and Mayo, to me, those are the guys that I'm going to worry, that I want to see make the plays. Because Eli's going to take some shots down the field, and he's going to complete some passes. I know that's going to happen already. What I don't want is for Amon Bradshaw to be like their leading receiver out of the backfield. The check down guy who makes a 2-yard catch and turns it into a 22-yard gain. That's the plays. Those are the plays I do not want to see. I don't want to see Ballard wide open in the middle of the field. I worry actually more about those two guys. They still got some Manningham, Nix, Victor Cruz. They can do some damage. The secondary, this defense is going to have some work cut out for them this week. However, it's Eli Manning throwing the football. And I think that's what you want. I know his numbers look good, but who has he played? Who has he beaten? Who has he lost to? I want Eli throwing the ball as often as possible because I know he's going to screw it up at one point, just like Romo did. And the Giants, I don't think, have the offensive weapons to keep up with the Patriots. And I think it's real important, not real important, but I'd love to see the Patriots hopefully jump out to another leading this one, and just never look back. Cruise to a nice 34-20 win or something like that. Again, I'll give my scores tomorrow when I do all that stuff. But I think the line's at 8.5, and I think the Patriots are going to win by at least 10. Not 20 or 30, but 10 or more. 10 and 14 points, somewhere around there. Miami should have beaten the Giants on Sunday. They had it. They also suffered some... The Giants, you also got to remember, the Miami Dolphins, for all the Giants pass rush and all the 26 sacks leading the league and all that stuff, they were fortunate that Pouncey was out and John Jerry was out, two pretty significant offensive linemen for the Miami Dolphins late in that game. And that's why the Giants really got after Moore in the end and really, closed in on him. But he had some pretty good success against the Giants. Not only throwing the ball, but running the ball himself, quarterback keepers. This is not the 2008 Giants. Do they have some players that can do some damage if you're not careful? Absolutely they can. We all know about Justin Tuck and Asa Umeniora and Jason Pierre-Paul. So, Manny says on web radio at Patriots.com, Manny says, Pete, Matthews has 3 sacks so far through 8 games, and last year he had 13.5. Kind of a slow start. Okay, from a sack percentage, but I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite about what I tell you about sacks. Just because he doesn't have 13.5 sacks does not mean he's not making an impact. You don't know where he is. Maybe he's more in coverage at times for the certain teams they're playing for. What are the scores in the games? The Packers been in some blowouts. It's just like the Patriots.
You don't think people run away from him either?
Exactly. That's what you do. I mean, how many times when, and it's a great point, is how many times Belichick brings it up, or brings it up usually after a game, but, guys like, Ray Lewis, what's the best way to stop Ray Lewis? Run at him. Run right at him. They've done that a lot. Over the years, the Patriots have. So, you don't know. I have to see all the Packer games on film to give you. But I'm saying don't get caught up in sack stats because Clay Matthews only has 3 sacks this year. You know, I wouldn't be all that concerned. The Packers are 6-0, and
ready. I'm gonna shoot down people's theory right here that he's having a bad year because of sack numbers.
Yeah.
If you go strictly by sack numbers, Mark Anderson's a better player this year than Clay Matthews.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Sack numbers to me can be extremely overrated. To me, a lot of them are like stolen bases in football and baseball, because the team that usually leads the league in stolen bases finishes last.
Now, don't get me wrong either, though.
Oh,
I think Mark Anderson's playing well for our team.
Yep.
Great role.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, saying a player is good or bad based on sack numbers.
Yep. No, it's not the case.
Right,
you got to take in consideration the scores of the game, you know, who was out there, what the situation was. So that doesn't, you know, the fact that he has 3 sacks, not 13.5, I don't buy it. I think Aaron Hernandez is going to have one hell of a game on Sunday for the Patriots. I really do. And it's going to be interesting to see who covers Welker this week, because Tom Coughlin early today talking about mixing it up a little bit. So that's going to be interesting. What's that? Oh, we're ready? You can just break. Well, we're going to go to sound. Tell me what you want to do. I don't care. You can chime in.
Oh, I was just trying to write down and see if you wanted to go to Bill.
You're reading my mind. Oh, I see it. Sorry. That's what I was just going to say. I want to hear, right before we get to Michael Eisen from Giants.com, let's hear from head coach Bill Belichick early today. Now, I've skipped through the freaking Edelman BS because I can't take, I've heard it 5 times today. I can't take much more of it. I mean, there's useless questions about Edelman. I know they had to be asked, useless, so we'll move on from there. So here you go.
Bill, can you answer how you determine as a coach how players' actions off the field when they determine, you know, their actions on the field? You know, how do you decide that?
How do I decide what?
How do you decide when something that happens to a player off the field, you know, will lead to changes on the field?
I think you look at each situation individually, make your decisions based on whatever all the information that you have is, whatever that is. And everyone's different, obviously.
Will be internal sanctions on, I guess, either Gronkowski or Edelman on this?
We never publicly announce our internal team discipline. So we wouldn't change that policy.
Do you have a system of team discipline in general?
Of course.
Another fun topic. How often do you think back to the Super Bowl with the Giants? They play the highlights on TV sometimes. I'm sure you've caught it. There's a picture of Montreal. How much do you look back on that?
Probably not really much more than any other game. We've won them, we've lost them, but they're all in the past. They're in the books. Whatever happened or didn't happen, can't change it. It's part of history. And right now I'm focused on getting ready for this week's game. That's the way it is every week. It's focus on the week that we're playing, not what happened in the past.
So you see a highlight and you're like, oh, we've done this on
trail. Yeah, I think we're probably pretty much over that. Whatever the thoughts were after the game, that's, you know, that comment had gone, and that's what it is. Can't change it.
Research. Do you look back at your game plan then and go, all right, well, this worked.
As a long time ago, there's not really a lot of players, a few players. There's not a lot of players that are playing in this game that played in that one. And there's certainly a lot that are playing that didn't play in that one that are critical players to both teams in the game. So I think, you know, there's a lot that's changed.
When you look at Eli Manning, how much do you sort of go through the whole Super Bowl thing? How much do you interact with that?
I looked at the, you know, recent games that they played. Miami, Buffalo, Seattle. Yeah, games they've been playing.
From your perspective, how has he grown since that game?
He's been a good quarterback since he came into the league. You know, he's accurate. He's got a good arm. Makes good decisions. Like every player, there's always plays that could be better or they might want to have back. But, you know, he's a productive passer. He's led their team to a lot of successful offensive plays and wins. So that's how you measure a quarterback.
How much attention did you pay to Victor Cruz when he was at UMass? And what do you think about how he's played so far?
You know, he had a real good preseason last year, you know, and made the team based on that, you know, as an undrafted player. He's done a good job this year. He's gotten a lot more playing time, you know, strong player, breaks a lot of tackles, guy they obviously have a lot of confidence in, primarily plays in the slot. Just done a good job for him.
Hey, Bill, is there ever a time where, based on the talent and the ability that you thought you had to change things completely around? Based on the talent, the ability that's being demonstrated on the field?
I think you're always evaluating your team. You're always trying to find how to play more to your strengths and how to minimize or avoid, you know, some of the things you don't feel you're doing as well or are getting attacked, how to shore those up. So yeah, I think it's an ongoing process. It's every week. Based on your team and also based on who your opponent is, how you think they'll attack you. Or how they've attacked similar situations with other teams that they've faced. So it's constant.
Bill, your pass protection is facing its third straight challenge, I guess, in teams that rush the ball and rush pretty well. How have you seen them get through the first two games in the stretch here? How have they done as the season's going on in pass protection?
I think, you know, overall our pass protection's been good. It could always be better. I mean, there are always things that we could do better. You know, we had some plays here and there, but I'd say overall it's been okay. These guys are, I mean, they're good now. They got a lot of guys that can rush. They move around. You know, you can't be really sure of the matchup that you're going to get. You know, some weeks you kind of, you know, where this guy's going to be or where that guy's going to be. With the Giants, you know, you don't really know for sure where some of them are going to line up. It depends on who else is in the game and what front they're in and all that, so that they give you a lot of different matchups. Offensive line really has to do a good job preparing for, you know, all the guys, as opposed to sometimes, you know, each lineman knows pretty much who they're going to be blocking for, you know, a high percentage of the game. That's not really quite the case this week, but they're all good. I mean, they're all very good. They're quick, they're active, they work well together, they have a lot of speed on the field. It's a good group.
New faces, obviously, up front, moving parts in some cases. Has communication been an issue when there's been breakdowns, or has it been just primarily getting physical?
I wouldn't say we've had too many, but, you know, there have been a couple, yeah.
You've got a long history with Tom Coughlin. Could you just get into how that relationship has evolved over the years?
Well, Tom, you know, came to the Giants staff when I was already there, and I was coaching the secondary, and Tom was coaching the receivers. So that was really a good situation for me. I mean, as a receiver, as a defensive backfield coach and a defense coordinator, but as a secondary coach, you work a lot with the receiver coach, one-on-ones, seven-on-seven drills, and also you know, you talk to each other about, well, you know, we're playing this technique, you know, what do you see? What could we do better? Or how would you attack it? And so Tom and I had a good relationship and a good give and take on that. You know, he would tell me things about defensive backs, how they were trying to beat him, what they saw from this guy, how they would attack another defensive player, you know, with the same route, how they'd run it differently on a different player. You know, and the same thing. This is what I see from your receivers. This is how we're trying to play this guy. You know, he really makes it easy for us on this route by doing this or doing that. You know, so it was good. It was constructive, and it was good. And then, of course, after the 90 season, you know, Tom came here. I went to Cleveland, so we haven't been together since then, but we've had, you know, whether he was there in Jacksonville or, you know, in New York, or I was in Cleveland, or I was in, you know, wherever I was before coming back here, you know, we've always maintained a good, you know, a good friendship, you know.
All right, there it is. Head coach Bill Belichick, some of what he said today. Again, the whole thing's available on Patriots.com. Brady also spoke today. Maybe we'll play him a little bit at the end of the show about, because he was pretty much, could set everybody's pretty upset in that locker room. And they're just fighting, ready to go back. I'm going to take a quick break, and then Michael Eisen will join us. Quick email, though. From Joel, says, Pete, any thoughts about the Pats that don't use Chad on offense? Could they use him on punt return or kickoff? And Chad, who we thought he was, I believe, Edelman, will be released in a few weeks. He only has three receptions this year, Joel. I don't see it happening. I shouldn't say never. I don't know. That's been kind of a weakness. Danny Woodhead tried last week, didn't do a great job. Edelman, if I had my choice, I'd like to see more Slater, to be honest with you. I hope he gets more chances. I think he's probably the best bet, but we'll see. All right, quick break, and then more of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com until 6 o'clock. Michael Eisen from Giants.com will join us right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
This is the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepard.
All right, back here on Pete Shepard Show. That's me, yours truly, here until 6 o'clock here on Patriots.com. Going to head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now and check in with Michael Eisen from Giants.com. Michael, Pete Shepard here. Thanks for taking a few minutes. How you doing?
My pleasure, Pete. How are you?
Great. I read your piece yesterday and a couple today, but I'll tell you, you might have the stat of the week. I thought it was fascinating. Giants 4-0 in games were opposing back rushes for 100 yards, including Reggie Bush on Sunday, who looked like he was going to rush for 500. But the rest of the league, 9-45 in those situations. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I haven't figured that one out yet. That's why I had to double-check that one. We seem, and it really goes against the trend of the last few years. Normally, when we allow a 100-yard rusher, we lose. This year, we're 4-0, and the rest of the league wins when they have a 100-yard rusher. So I don't understand how that works, but it has.
Are you surprised that the Giants, and it's not just the Giants, but most of the league this year has become much more of a passing league than a passing team than a running team? Because at the beginning of the season, I think a lot of people thought the Giants were going to be able to just pound the ball a lot more than they are now.
Yes, I am. Actually, quite honestly, I am surprised. When we lost Kevin Boss and Steve Smith, I think the popular thinking was that we were going to be a running team because we do have an experienced line and we still have Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs, but we really have become much more of a passing team. The receivers have developed, I think, faster than people anticipated, and that includes Jake Ballard at tight end. And really, Eli, I think, is playing as well as he has in his career. So we've just kind of joined the rest of the league and become a passing team.
Yeah, Eli, particularly, the best numbers, best quarterback rating in the fourth quarter of any quarterback in football this year. That shocks the hell out of me.
It doesn't shock the hell out of me. He's really has steadily improved. Eli has never been a big numbers guy. Not one of these guys that throws for 300 yards all the time. He just does what it takes to win, and a lot of that is because Tom Coughlin does stress balance, and we have run the ball well. But, you know, this year when we've needed him to put up bigger numbers and we're not running the ball as well, he's responded and he's played very well.
Yeah, and going by, I mean, as Parcells used to say, and Belichick says all the time around here, and a lot of coaches now, I mean, you are what you are. I mean, looking at the schedule, and I've seen the Giants play almost every week anyway here, and certainly with what you can get now on cable and everything, you can see a lot of them. But you know, the schedule not overly impressive. I still don't know how you lost to Seattle, but that's another story. But I mean, I'm trying to think, are some of these numbers reflective of the teams you played, or is Eli really the fourth best quarterback right now, or does who they played in the schedule have something to do with that?
Well, if he's not the fourth best quarterback, I think he's pretty close. You know, I mean, you got to realize Eli's in his eighth year, and I do think he's improved a lot. You know, obviously we haven't played the strongest schedule, but, you know, if you look traditionally at Giants schedules, we usually play a quote-unquote softer schedule early in the year, and we have a backloaded schedule because really, you know, we are in New York, and mm-hmm. the networks prefer to have us playing big games at the end of the year. And if you go back through the last several seasons, you'll see that's always been the case. We always play more tougher opponents later in the year. But I still think that Eli is just playing very well. He's got to do it now when we start playing these tough teams, and I think he will.
Well, we know the league is a copycat league, but I know Tom Coughlin is smarter than that. And a lot of people, it's not just with the Patriots or the Giants. People have way too big a tendency. I think fans and some media like to think that because it happened this week, that it's going to be just as easy to do it the next week. Case in point, Patriots, the way they played so piss poor against the Steelers in a lot of ways on defense, and that somehow it's going to be automatic. And I know the net yardage numbers indicate that that's the way they've been all year, but they certainly played better defensively against the Jets, Dallas, San Diego for a lot of that game against the Raiders. And, you know, they took a step back, obviously, against the Steelers on Sunday. But do you think that the Giants and Coughlin and the Giants will attack the Patriots, at least initially, like the Steelers did with those short kind of dink and dunk and, you know, Bradshaw over the middle for 4 yards, 5 yards?
Wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, I know that it's kind of a thorn in Tom's side that we have not run the ball well. And, you know, Tom believes very strongly that if you play in the Northeast, you got to be able to run the ball late in the year. And, you know, the calendar slipped to November. We got 2 months left. And I still think he's going to try, you know, and crank it up, get the run game going a little bit. But, you know, ultimately, as you said, you got to do what you have to do to win the game. Mm-hmm. And if that, you know, means passing the ball all day, that's what they'll do.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots have done a pretty good job at defending the run this year. I mean, you know, I don't have to tell you the numbers. I'm sure you've seen them. I'm just wondering that because the offensive highlights for the Giants I saw this week against Miami, they did a lot of stuff early on, even though they score a lot of points, but they're moving the ball effectively, not so much by deep passes, but the checkoff plays between Bradshaw and Ballard. I mean, those are the kind of plays that have just killed the Patriots this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Giants will do some of that. But, you know, one thing, I've been around a long time, and I'm starting to think that in the NFL now, 1 week has nothing to do with the next
week.
Well,
that's what I was just saying. That's what I said before.
It's almost like 17 separate seasons at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like you mentioned the Seattle game, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea how we lost to the Seattle Seahawks. They scored 36 points against us. They played two games since. I think they've scored 15 or 18 mm-hmm. total points. Further proof that 1 week has absolutely nothing to do with the next week.
Well, I'm so glad you said that. I try to preach that to a lot of the fans and some of the media here, you know, all the time. It's exactly what you said. It's 17 different seasons. You know, every game is separate. Each is his own entity. I think this one has the potential to be very, very entertaining. I just think the Patriots might have to get a little more well-balanced attack in this one. And being at home 18-1 against the NFC since 2002, and they hardly ever lose two games in a row, I just think this week might be just a bad spot for the Giants coming in here. And the Patriots in that locker room are quite upset. I must be frank with you. They're very upset.
I agree. You know, it's going to be, I don't agree that it's going to be too much for us. I agree that it's a great challenge for all mm-hmm. the reasons that you mentioned. I do think it has the potential to certainly be a very entertaining game. I mean, you're talking about the second and third rated quarterbacks in the NFL right now. They're both playing well. Both teams have, you know, excellent offensive players, offensive skill players. So I think it has the potential to be a really fun game to watch.
One guy people know around here, or some people do, because he went to UMass, Victor Cruz. You surprised at how quickly he seems to have developed and become, you know, an integral part of that offense?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. I don't think, you know, when you sign a free agent from the University of Massachusetts, no offense.
No, I know. I'm with you.
Yeah, you know, you expect to. You know, the guy to come in here and produce as he has, especially when basically he sat out all last year. He only played three games and did not catch a pass before going on IR. So he kind of had a lost rookie year. And, you know, throughout training camp, you know, I think he was considered one of those guys on the bubble to make the roster. So I think, you know, anyone who would say, oh, yeah, I thought Victor Cruz would have 28 catches and four touchdowns, I think they'd be lying to you.
How banged up are the Giants? I saw the injury report today, and I know some guys take Wednesday off anyway, and that happens around here also. But how dinged up are they, and do you expect them to be reasonably healthy for Sunday?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think it was last week at this time. Well, of course, we were coming off the bye, but I think last Wednesday, everybody on the roster practiced. And, you know, we do have some guys dinged up, but, you know, like O.C. Umanure didn't practice today. He mm-hmm. generally does not practice on Wednesday. You know, Ahmad Bradshaw didn't practice. He's made a career out of not practicing. I mean, a couple of years ago, he never practiced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nix has a hamstring, but he thinks
he's going to
play.
We call that the junior Seau syndrome.
I think there were nine guys on the injury report early today, but
yeah.
I think, you know, knock on wood, for this time of year, we're pretty healthy.
All right, well, how do you see this game shaping up here as come Sunday at 4:15?
You know, I just have a feeling it's going to be a high-scoring game. You know, obviously the Patriots are not, you know, where they're used to being on defense, 32nd-ranked defense. Although, you know, I kind of, although I'm a big stats guy, I kind of wonder what it all means. I mean, the Giants are 28th in rushing defense. The Pats are 32nd in passing defense. They're both 5-2. So what are the stats?
Well, the net yard. I'm with the net yardage stats. To me, I mean, the Packers, I think, are 29th in pass defense.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a bit.
I just think they're, like we said earlier. I just think they're, you know, the quarterbacks are so good. They're playing so well. There's so many good offensive skill players. I think it's going to be a fairly close, high-scoring game.
All right, give fans who are not all that familiar with the Giants, and I don't think there's many around here because the Giants are shown still around here every week, and most people with Red Zone and then everything else can see them on a pretty consistent base. Maybe not every play, but a lot. But who's one guy that Patriot fans who maybe not you should watch out for in this game?
Well, I would probably say the guy you brought up before, Jake Ballard. I mean, you know, he's another guy like Victor Cruz. Basically, his rookie year was spent on the practice squad. He was active for one game. You know, I can't even begin to tell you the panic around here from Giants fans when Kevin Boss signed with the Raiders. It's like, oh, well, how are we going to replace Kevin Boss? Well, Kevin Boss caught 35 passes last year. It's not like, you know, he was irreplaceable. And, you know, Jake Ballard has come in, and, you know, he had a reputation as a blocker because basically that's what he did at Ohio State. But he was actually an outstanding receiver in high school, and he's already got 19 catches, and he's become kind of a safety valve for Manning, and he's become a big play, not a big play guy, but an important player in the offense. And I think that's probably not a lot of people up there and even know who Jake Ballard is, but he could be a key player in the game.
Okay, we're speaking with Michael Eisen from Giants.com. Just a couple more questions on regarding what's going to be interesting, I think, and we talk about this every week, is how different teams want to handle Wes Welker. And I saw some of Tom's press conference today talking about, you know, they're going to mix it up a little bit. And that's going to be an interesting matchup to see what they do. It always is with Wes.
Yeah, you know, it will lately, since Terrell Thomas was lost for the year, Corey Webster has been assigned to the opposition's best receiver, and he's done a very good job. Obviously, Welker's a different type of receiver because he's smaller and quicker. So, you know, Tom's answer to everything is we're going to mix it up. So, so I think that's what they do every week. So I don't think they're going to change now.
And I think again. Two guys that are so unique to this team are to the Patriots that are so difficult. And you may shut down one a little bit during the week, but it's tough to shut down Gronkowski and Hernandez both in one game. They propose, I think, the most unique threat of any team in the NFL. You just don't see two tight ends that can do the damage that those two guys can do.
Oh, I agree. I mean, so with the spread offenses now, you don't even see two tight ends being used that much on the field at the same time anymore. And I think that's one of the things that makes the Patriots unique and very difficult. And and it's no question it's going to be a big challenge for the Giants to cover both of those guys.
Well, that's right. I agree. I think, maybe the best team that has the best tight end game, whether it's Ballard, Hernandez, or Gronkowski, maybe that team might win the game. But, Mike, thanks a lot so much. Appreciate it. And I don't know if you're coming to Foxborough this weekend, but if you are, enjoy it. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay, take care. That's Michael Eisen from Giants.com joining us here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. So, yeah, he's kind of on the same level of thinking I am, which is I like, about net yardage numbers, and each game is different. And that's why you cannot – he brought up such a great point. You look at – I mean, they lost to Seattle at home. They gave up 36 points to Seattle. And I think one of those – two of them might have been pick sixes, and one of them might have been. So, but and then they bounce back the next week and beat Buffalo 27-24.
I like what he said, 17 different seasons.
I agree, and I try to say that you know me, Matt. That's what I try to say every week. You cannot put these trends that people try to come up with. It's not just fans. It's a lot of media, too. And net yardage stuff, I'm telling you, throw it out. I mean, it has a little bit of a meaning, but for the most part, not a lot. Because the Steelers beat the Patriots, the way they beat them does not mean every other team is going to be able to do the same thing to the Patriots. You know? So Seattle, beat the Giants, and have they even won a game since? I don't know. But the guys that I talked about at the top of the show, the guys that worry me in this game, it's not so much Cruz and Manningham and Knicks. It's guys like Ballard and Bradshaw, checkoff guys, or guys who run 5-10 yards down the field. They did some pretty good damage against Miami. Even though they didn't score a lot of points, they scored 10 in the fourth quarter. Eli will have some numbers in this game. He's also going to have some interceptions in this game. Don't kid yourself. They're coming.
Give us a hot take, Pete. Who gets a pick?
Who gets a pick? Oh, I don't know. I want to go with Ninkovic. I bet you, I'm going with the linebackers this week. I think the linebackers are going to be key in this one. I'm going to say Ninkovic and maybe even Mayo gets one. I'm going to go with those two. How about that?
I like it.
But I think you will see this team take shots down the field. And even Dallas didn't really, if I'm trying to think, Romo didn't throw a lot of bombs in that game because he really can't. He was too hurt. So I think the secondary, the cornerbacks are going to be challenged as well as far as deep coverage for the first time in a while because Eli will air it out several times in this game. But he is Eli, and he can be a Jekyll and Hyde quarterback. He's having, he's having a good year for him against some pretty mediocre competition so far. So we'll see. Of course, the Patriots have met bad teams, put up some pretty good net yardage. So at the end of the day, Manning's numbers may look okay, even though they might lose a game by 10 to 14 points. But that remains to be seen. We shall see. I just think the Patriots are going to have a really well-balanced attack. They'll come out throwing. They will be able to run the ball. I think they're going to run it right down their throats, to be honest with you, at times. I think Ben Jarvis and Danny and Falk are going to have big games. I look Falk out of the backfield in this one than actually rushing yards, but wouldn't shock me if the law firm gets 100 yards in this game. Wouldn't shock me one bit. It would shock me if the Giants get 100 yards by one individual in this game, unless it's real, they're down by three touchdowns and get some 85-yard run or something. That's different, but I just don't see any consistent running game from the Giants. It hasn't happened at all this year. They've really had to kind of change their philosophy and how they play to win games. And it's the philosophy of the NFL, which is if you can't throw the ball, you can't win for the most part. And the part about the only thing I'll disagree with Michael on as far as, I know he was quoting Tom about playing in the Northeast and running the ball. That doesn't mean anything around here because Brady would rather throw the ball. We've seen him. This team plays great in crappy weather, and they throw the ball in crappy weather, and they do great in crappy weather. Huh?
Put up 59 points in a blizzard.
59 points in a blizzard. Even the snowball game he had against Oakland, and he had 300 yards passing in that game. So trust me, they would. I don't care what the weather is around here. They want to throw the ball unless it's, you know, 50-mile-an-hour gusts. That's about the only thing. If it's snowing or raining, the Patriots are throwing. That stuff about, you know, running the ball in the Northeast, that doesn't go back over the years. Let's see what this team's record is, and what, 12-0 or 13-0, whatever it is, in the snow. And
but Eli Manning, as much as he wants to say it, he's no Tom Brady.
No, he's not, and that's why he will eventually screw it up.
That's why they need to run the ball.
He will screw it up. That's why, and I agree. And so far, they've kind of gotten away with it. But again, there's a long way to go here. Joe says, Pete, I agree with you every week in a different season, except if you're the Miami Dolphins or Colts. I agree with you every week is a different season, except if you're Miami. Oh, I see. Joel Pat's Nation's follow. Yeah. Well, and it just goes to show you. And the other thing I don't like, what people are comparing, you know, that, I've heard this week. It aggravates me about Peyton Manning. Is so the MVP because you could see what the Colts could do, are not doing without him there. And because Tom Brady was out for the Patriots, it's like this system thing now that Matt Castle was able to come in and win 11 games, and it wasn't for Brett Favre screwing up against Miami. The Patriots would have got to the playoffs that year, played Pittsburgh, and who knows what would happen. But that aggravates me. That tells me that your coaching staff in Indianapolis stinks.
Oh, no!
Stinks.
We suck again!
Because taking consideration, teams win Super Bowl. I mean everybody, coaches, players, everybody. You're telling me that's just not being prepared.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Matt Castle took him 4 or 5 weeks. He wins a Kansas City game, but he didn't look great. They win next week in San Francisco. Then he's shaky for about 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And after that Pittsburgh loss here in the rain, I don't think Matt lost another game. I think he won his last 4 or 5 games for the Patriots. They went 11-5. That tells you a lot about the coaching staff here and what they were able to do. But I cannot stand when people say, oh, it's because of Belichick's system, that if Brady were in Indianapolis, it wouldn't be the same. Well, that's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. Peyton Manning would do well here. Tom Brady would do well there. But obviously, the Indianapolis Colts coaching staff cannot do the job that Belichick did when they lost their franchise guy. And nobody's focusing on that. Why is that? Why is nobody comparing the Patriots of 08 to the Colts of 11? I don't understand that.
How Jim Caldwell still has a job is still baffling to me.
Embarrassing. Some of the, 62-7. Now, granted, the Patriots never lost. The worst loss the Patriots, in my opinion, they've had was 09 in New Orleans. That was horrible. The year the Saints won the Super Bowl. But I kind of expected that in that situation that day. And it still was nothing like 62-7. Wow. So you're telling me if Bill Belichick and his staff were coaching Indianapolis, would they be this bad? No freaking way. No way. But why doesn't anybody compare the Patriots of 08 to the Colts of 2011? I'd like to know why. It's not just about the quarterbacks. It's about the coaching. Huge. Anyway. Well, tomorrow coming up on the Pete Shepherd Show, of course, in the first hour is Brian Lowe with the Fantasy Football Lowdown.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
He's also a newlywed, recently married.
I know. It's going to be the newlywed game tomorrow.
I know. And so we'll have him in the first hour, second hour more on the Patriots and the Giants. And I'm dying to find out the suckers out there on Fantasy Football who took Tebow last week against Detroit. Because I agree, it was bad enough against Miami. He had 2 minutes of good football against Miami. And that's why Kyle Orton will be back in that lineup probably, if not by the third quarter, maybe by the second. Because I think he's in big trouble on Sunday again. He's just not a good quarterback in the NFL. He's just not. Good guy. Huh?
Sorry, I got something pretty good from Twitter. You're talking about Tebow, and I was just looking at Twitter. Somebody tweeted at Chad Ochocinco and said, what do you think of Tim Tebow as a quarterback? Want to know what his response was?
What?
You know, just a sign that maybe he's not himself here. I can't critique a quarterback. I'm not even playing wide receiver the right way.
Wow. That's pretty good. Read that again.
I can't critique a quarterback.
No, this is Ocho Cinco talking.
Ocho replying to somebody who tweeted him asking
about Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, a quarterback. He said, I can't critique a quarterback. I'm not even playing wide receiver the right way.
Wow. That's pretty compelling right there. Woof. Well, this goes to show you. At least he admits it. Somebody says, when's the last time the Patriots lost two in a row? It was 09. That's what I was talking about. It was to New Orleans and then I forget who. One of those things. But the last time before that was 02. So it was 09. That's when the Patriots just, they look great 1 week, and, you know, then Welker got hurt the last game of the season against Houston, and they just really deflated them going into that game against Baltimore, and they ran a kickoff back for a touchdown. It was just ugly. They were down 14-0 before you even realized it. But that is really interesting about Chad Ochocinco. Really interesting. Well, that's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show today. Thanks, everybody, for the emails and the calls. We will do more tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Wow. Hey, also remind everybody again, Wednesdays, my buddy Craig Bradford runs a great charity poker tournament not too far from Gillette. It's in Dedham. It's called the Wednesday Weekly Deep Stack, $25 satellites at 6, $90 main event at 7:15, 15,000 starting chips, $10 add-on for an additional 5,000 chips, so basically it's 20,000 starting stack for $100. First 20 players play a satellite for free, one per player. The American Legion Post, AT, 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham. It's right behind the Tahiti Lounge. Across from the VFW. Hope to see you guys there again. It's at 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham. That's the American Legion Post 18. Big portion, obviously, goes to charity. It's a great professionally run event. If you want to play, if you're coming down thinking it's going to be like your buddy's home game, it's not. Rules are enforced. Penalties are assessed. There's free food and great drinks. Very reasonable. It's a great time. I promise you, you don't have to go to Connecticut to have a good time playing poker. Hope to see you guys there tonight. And I will be back tomorrow on the Pete Shepherd Show at 4 p.m. The football fantasy lowdown with Brian Lowe at 4. Then more Patriots, Giants, and all your emails and phone calls tomorrow beginning at 4 o'clock. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.